This is Pants in the Boot. I want to throw a spanner in the gubbins, which is to finish off this topic, which is so fancy dress and formal dress. I feel like I have a better sense of how these terms are used. But we have, you know, come wearing a costume, and then there's panto in the UK that I do not understand. I've seen it on the television. I do not understand where it fits into everything.
I think panto is very unique to the UK. I think the base description would be mostly B to C level celebrities in a sort of comedy theater thing for children, but not really.
Pantomime? Is that where it comes
from? I think that's where the term comes from, but it's there's a very specific structure to it, and there'll be specific call outs. Like there's a.
I'll show you. Yeah.
Oh, yes, you did. Oh, no, he did. Something like that. Yeah, right?
There's the he's behind you is another call out when, you know, usually the hero is giving some speech to the audience and a baddie is creeping up behind them. But so to give an example of this, I saw Aladdin in Glasgow with John Barrowman playing Aladdin. Chris won't need an explanation for this. Everyone else will. The Crankies. Also in it. The Crankies are, it's a husband and wife playing father and son. Okay. It's complicated. anyway, we went to see this with an American and their children. And there was extremely high levels of double entendre throughout the whole thing. And she was concerned that we had accidentally gone to an adult performance of this panto. And we're like, no. This is what it is. And you can imagine if you've seen John Barrowman unleashed in a variety of things. Yes. He was relishing his role in this.
This is a tangent, James, but was he doing his Scottish accent or his American accent?
He was flipping between them. So
that weirds me out when he does that.
So John Barrowman ostensibly presents as an American, and I think he was born in Glasgow or close to Glasgow. And I saw him at a book signing once, and he went in and he was doing the introduction and he was doing it in his American accent. And then he just stopped and he was like, why the hell am I doing this? And then switched into his broad Scottish accent.
Very disconcerting. If you ever look on YouTube, you'll see videos. It's weird as all hell.
There's a show that that's on the BBC called Who Do You Think You Are? And it's about people researching their roots and their family. Oh, and it's worth watching. And when he was doing that, whenever he was speaking to his mum, he would be in his Scottish accent. And then he would turn around to the camera and he would be in his adopted American accent, which I believe he sort of learned when they moved over there as a means of defense, basically. And I understand that very well, having been bullied for my accent, which is sort of Scottish, sort of English, that he adopted an accent. And that's just the one he uses when he's over there.
As the only person in this conversation who doesn't have an accent, I...
nicely played.
It was a great thing. It's this very sort of... It's like a dance between the audience and the performers. Everyone knows their role. I don't know if you have something like Carols by Candlelight. Very, very structured, very formal. Everyone knows their place. Everyone knows their role. And that's a very British thing. It's a very United Kingdom thing. Of everyone having a sense of their place in a structure. It's not so common in Australia or in America.
If I may get very pretentious, we don't have a Lord of the Revels sort of thing. We don't have a Falstaffian figure in American entertainment. It's all either like a play. I mean, Kathy, I can't think of anything that is formally ridiculous where everyone kind of knows the thing. There's children's theater, but children's theater is more like conventional theater with some interactive parts, but there's nothing that's as communally age-driven. That's probably why panto seems incomprehensible to me.
It's full of archetypes as well, like the dame, which is always played by a man, or, you know, the fact that every kind of young male protagonist in it is played by a woman, that kind
and
of
And the stories will be ostensibly the same stories. You know, it'll be Dick Whittington or Aladdin or something, but each one will be a brand new script. And in fairness to the performers, it sounds like we're being slightly... One could hear our conversation and think that we're being slightly sort of snobby about it and dismissive, but the stagecraft and the writing and stuff is sensational. It's theatre. It's most proletariat, but most amazing in some senses. And the sheer vibrancy of these things are amazing to behold. If you don't know Panto and you're in the UK, especially around Christmas time, lead up to Christmas, then definitely try and go for one. And the people who are in it, I mean, James quite rightly says they're sort of B or C list celebs. Almost certainly you wouldn't recognise any of the names because they'll be from British soap operas and that sort of stuff. But they make an absolute packet. Absolute fortune acting in Panto.
Yeah. And I mean, John Barrowman was fantastic. I mean, even the Crankies were fantastic. And it was like...
Of course the Crankies were fantastic.
It's so heightened, but then it's often also got some like really interesting metatextual stuff, broad winks to the audience, subtle winks to the audience, plays on language, double entendre, triple entendre, like physical comedy, singing, dancing, special effects. It is everything about theatre dialed up to 11. It's really worth seeing if you can.
And I definitely wouldn't characterise it in the terms... Glenn did, because if you go into this expecting some Lord of the Rebels Falstaffian character to lead you through the, you'll be sorely disappointed. This is not high art.
Well, yeah, but the Lord of the Rebels is sort of low. It's just low high.
Well, that's
like,
true. Yes.
We don't have. It's weird in America. I don't feel like we have low high. We have low and we have high. But you know, occasionally the closest thing I can think of seeing was you know, sometimes there'll be Commedia dell'arte stuff that's staged in the U.S. and that I know has got. I think Panto has its roots in it. But even, even that's not, we're very formal in our entertainment.
Would you say that vaudeville would be an appropriate comparison?
Yeah. Although I don't think it had, I don't know if that was all original. I wouldn't say that. I think there were a lot of types. Yeah. Cause you'd have different acts that would come through. That would always be a specific kind of thing. They'd tell the same old bad jokes. They do the same kinds of stuff. It was an expected performance.
Well, as a comedian, I have to say, I've started doing stand-up in New York, I've done stand-up in Australia, I've done stand-up in the UK, I've done stand-up in the Middle East, I've done stand-up in Germany. A notable thing about American audiences is you are quite polite. You like to know when to laugh. So as an Australian actor, as a someone who kind of has that sensibility from the UK style of stand-up, I find I have to come down heavier than I normally would on my punchlines.
Yeah.
Mainly because the audiences are polite. They don't want to laugh if they're not meant to laugh. Whereas British audiences quite like a subversive laugh, or they like to think that they like to be made to feel clever for laughing and for knowing when to laugh rather than being told when to laugh.
Oh, I love that. This is why I listen to the News Quiz and the Bugle and a number of other UK-based shows, some of which feature Alice Fraser as a regular guest, plug, because I feel like the American shows, there's very funny American comedy, but I can't find anything like that here because nobody likes that here. all right, well, I think we've gotten to, I'm going to go put on the front half of the horse and we'll come back with another episode.